Giblet make me feel good.
I ain't afraid of no giblets.
Yum.
Giblet's a great word.
What
dude.
Is an interview with a vampire?
What's your favorite word?
I don't know that I have a favorite word. I think that I go through phases of appreciating words as I learn them.
Schlump.
Schlump is a good word.
I like schlump.
What's good, my giblet?
My giblets.
Bring all the boys to the yard?
Damn right. They're giblets in cars. Damn right. My giblets in cars.
I can teach you, but it'd make you hard. All right. You boys pumped for this month?
No.
What do you mean? What do you mean no?
I'm mostly not pumped for this movie in particular.
This is the only movie this month I'm pumped for.
Which one was this one?
Interview with a Vampire?
It's my pick.
I hear that, I think it's the series, isn't it?
There is also a series.
We're doing the movie.
And there's a shitty book that it started with, and there's also a shitty book series, and it gets real dumb real fast.
I'm thinking of... like What They Do in the Darkness or What They Do in the Night.
Oh, yeah, the comedy one. Taika Waititi thing.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that, and I was like, there's some jokes in this that are landing really well with me, and there's others that aren't, and so I don't think the show is necessarily for me, but I can understand why people enjoy it.
Hmm. It might be one of those things like The Office or whatever where it needs a season to find its feet.
Well, I watched a little bit because it was one of the shows Sarah was watching, and so I watched it with her for a little while. And, with Taika Waititi, there's something like I'm kind of polarized with him because there has been stuff from him that I've been like, this is awesome.
I love this.
And then there's other stuff where I was like, this is insufferable.
I have yet to see anything that was not insufferable.
Thor Ragnarok was a lot of fun.
It was fun in some ways, but it really annoyed me in others. We've done that podcast twice.
Have we really?
I feel like we did a first impression.
We talk about it a lot.
Yeah, it comes up.
Well,
every time Thor is on screen, we have to talk about that movie.
Speaking of coming up, hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I've got big pointy teeth.
Okay. I'm Rick Fox. I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I'm the whiniest emo baby bitch you've ever heard in your entire life.
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I'm assuming I've got a pair of Dom jeans.
Oh, okay.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and we belong to
And we're opinionated. And tonight we're starting our October month of spooks, Bite-tober. Because sometimes we try and do a theme for October month of spooks, and this month's theme is has to have bites in it.
Do we remember last month's? I don't think we had a theme.
I had a name.
No, it was horror movies. So is this a theme or a sub-theme?
It's a sub-theme. Yeah. We always do horror movies for October, but this time we're going to do bite-themed horror movies.
Go deeper.
Because we had to fix something with vampires that also worked with Five Nights at Freddy's. So there's a bite that happens in that. And so, yeah, it works.
Suspense. You could get away with just anything.
You can stretch the limits a little bit. Yeah. But as you mentioned, tonight we're watching Interview with the Vampire Chronicles. Interview with the Vampire Chronicles came out in 1994. It was written by Anne Rice and directed by Neil Jordan. And it stars Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Antonio Banderas, Kristen Dunst, Christian Slater, and many others.
A vampire tells his epic life story. Love, betrayal, loneliness, and hunger. That is perfectly fitting for how I feel about this, because that's not a summary. That's just some emotions that you're supposed to feel while watching this, and I don't like it.
You're supposed to feel hunger while watching this, right?
Like a sexual hunger.
Sexual hunger, yeah.
No, like a lust for blood.
No.
Yeah, sexual.
No, a lust for Antonio Banderas, Brad Pitt, and Tom Cruise.
Well, if that's what you're supposed to feel, then this movie does a good job, because this movie's got some real homoerotic under and overtones, and it's pretty funny.
It's not just subtext. It's just... straight up text.
I don't remember this being that horny.
How old are they in what context?
It's like,
what do you mean?
As vampires.
Horny.
Like, how long have they been alive?
I just mostly remember it being
what
sad.
Point of the movie. Like, we shouldn't have two separate conversations on the
let's
podcast.
Talk, let's have one conversation here.
I'll step up, listeners.
Get that dual track going.
You got two ears, don't you? Listen, I picked this movie because I saw it for the first time about a month ago.
Wow, okay.
My wife and I will have like movie nights where we kind of go back and forth on who gets to pick the movie that night.
Okay.
And she regularly picks really bad movies, but sometimes some good ones.
Sure, sure.
And she picked Interview with a Vampire, and at first I was like, man, this does not... Like, I had to watch Twilight with you, and that was pretty unbearable.
When did this come out?
And this is also a vampire movie, so by default, I'm putting them into the same bucket.
Right. Was this better or worse than Twilight?
We sat down and watched it, and I had a very fun time the whole way through. It is ridiculous. One of the main characters is still pretty mopey.
Yep.
But I'm curious to see if you'll have a better time watching the movie than reading the book, because it's not... Although the mopey character does a good bit of the narration, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily seeing everything through his eyes. Yeah. You're seeing the scene as it unfolds, and he narrates for a bit, and then you get into the scene. So
You can dig back through the archives to find my thoughts on the Interview with a Vampire book.
Because you did a book club episode on it, right?
It was a couple years ago, so I don't remember a ton specific-wise from it. But what I do remember is that it was really unbearable to be in this guy's head. But I do think that watching it visually will help with that a lot. And also, instead of a 12-hour book, mm-hmm. it is a 2-hour movie, which is much more palatable to me.
Fair. I had a lot more fun with it than I thought I was going to. There's a lot that's ridiculous and very hammy dramatic.
Yeah,
and you've got very young Brad Pitt, mm-hmm. Antonio Banderas, and Tom Cruise all in their youthful early 20s playing mm-hmm. sexy vampires. It's kind of a funny scenario, this movie, and so it's fun to watch, and also the last 30 seconds are just my favorite part of it. It's so funny.
Awesome. I know which character is playing who, or which mm-hmm. actor is playing which character, but if you had told me these three actors and told me about these three parts of Antonio Banderas, Tom Cruise, and Brad Pitt specifically, I would not have picked who is Lestat at all. I would have been very puzzled about who Tom Cruise was in this setup. And
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because I feel like every person does a good job in their role. That being said, I have not read the book.
Okay,
so
sure.
This is just, I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick, you've read the book but not seen the movie. Brian and Caleb, have either of you,
no.
Do you know anything about this?
I've seen the movie and I don't remember, but I was trying to see what year it came out. Was this around the same time as where mopey main protagonists were big, like The Crow and stuff like that?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I'm so troubled.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think we may have seen it, because this feels like a movie we would have watched over at Tommy's long ago. So it's possible, but I don't have any specific memories like I do with, say, Gladiator or something.
How old are they at their oldest point in this? How many years have passed since they've been vampires?
It starts in, the 1700s.
There's a time skip at the end.
Yeah.
So I think... if anything lives that long, you're going to start fucking other things.
Other things?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the problem is that they can't actually fuck. The whole vampirism thing is...
You'll
see
when you get into it, because it's a unique take on it, I guess.
I guess. I mean,
Caleb, have you seen it before?
I have. It's been a long time, though.
Did you enjoy it?
I remember it not being quite the bloodbath that I was expecting, mm-hmm. but overall... I recall it positively.
Okay. Yeah. All right. In that case, I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Me too.
I want to just go in and watch it. Before we do, just a reminder that if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, you can find us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, including early access to all of our episodes. Whenever we edit anything, it gets put up on the podcast. Whenever we edit anything, it gets put up on the Patreon. And so definitely go check that out. By the time you are hearing this, the rest of Month of Spooks will most likely be
a good chunk of it will be.
Yeah, sure.
We've lost a little bit of our step as we got closer to this.
You had a baby and I moved houses.
Yeah.
That set us back a few.
But, exactly.
But yeah, definitely go check it out. And speaking of the Patreon, a big thanks to Ezra Barron. Ezra Barron recently joined us, and we're giving him a little shout-out. Thank you, Ezra. We appreciate you helping us out and helping us continue making this thing.
And talking on the Discord. That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is always fun. Speaking of the Discord, if you want to come hang out with us, the link to it will be in the description of this video as well as in our Twitter bio. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Interview with the Vampire, : The Vampire Chronicles.
Oh, what do you say we get started? So you want me to tell you the story of my life? I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you all of it. I'm flesh and blood, but not human.
I haven't been human for 200 years.
From the novel by Anne Rice. From Neil Jordan, the director of The Crying Game.
I've come to answer your prayers. Life has no meaning anymore, does it?
His name is Lestat.
But what if I could give it back to you? Pluck out the pain and give you another life. One you could never imagine.
I can see you lying on a bed of satin.
He chose one man. He gave him infinite power. Eternal life. And a daughter who would be forever young.
This is the only real evil left.
And then he took the light of day.
Did you get a hybrid dummy there? Hybrid gummy worm.
For whatever reason, they're all double snakes.
They're dual snakes. They're different flavors. One's supposed to be sour and the other's sweet. They're both sweet. They're not sour at all.
They're mating snakes.
More sour, yes, but...
I don't want candy that's not actually enjoyable. People who like I want the toe jam jelly are fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Warheads can be kind of pleasant. Like, even if when it's sour. Like,
yeah.
There's a level of, everybody's got their own level of, like, here's how sour I like. Just like people have their own level of, here's how spicy I like.
Right, yeah.
Right,
where it's sour, like, enough to make my mouth bleed.
No. Don't want that. I want to rinse it off for a good 30 seconds until there's just a little sour left, but 90%
you
sweet.
You rinse your Warheads under the faucet.
Yeah. Do you really?
So not powdery anymore.
Well, there were times when I would eat them full blast, but normally when I just want some fucking candy and not, like, to do permanent damage to my mouth, then yeah.
I saw.
That's kind of what it was like, though.
I think it was somebody did, like, 50 Warheads at once, just crammed them into their mouth.
That's permanent damage.
And when they took it out, they had, like, ulcers on the inside of their cheeks.
Good Lord.
Do you think that's how Lestat felt after he ate Louis?
No, after he ate the dead kid's blood.
Which dead kid? Because there's more than one.
Ah, this film was so dramatic.
Oh, my God.
It was so enjoyable.
Louis is such a fucking loser. Jeez, I don't know. This is the thing for me. Like,
he feels conflicted.
I get watching this movie and having fun. I don't understand the people who watch this kind of movie in the 90s.
And are like, just that's like, me.
That's who I want to be, man. That's the fucking, I want to be miserable.
It's
and
really
hateful.
Hard to make the good, miserable character.
I guess. It's just every single person that was like super into this is basically just the guy at the end of this movie that gets eaten by Lestat at the end. Mm-hmm.
Christian Slater.
Yeah. I think that's the point.
But yeah, but like the whole point of the movie is like, you're not supposed to want this super sexy coolness.
Yeah. But then he does.
Yeah.
And that's weird
to you
because
it's super sexy and cool.
Because these guys are fucking losers. All of them. They are all the fucking worst.
Louis just feels morally conflicted between.
No, he feels 15 years old for the entire movie.
Between his needs as a vampire and his conflicting ethic as someone who's still struggling to hold on to the last shreds of their humanity.
Maybe it's that, like, the emotions that you have around the time that you died are the ones you have for eternity. He's just perma-depressed.
Was Lestat just getting gaslit and...
No, Lestat was getting fucked while he died, apparently. Because that's one horny dude.
Jeez.
Well, he's horny, but he's not, like, trying to fuck everything.
He's not sex horny. He's just like
manipulation.
I don't want to have sex with you. I just want to kill you in an erotic way.
It's not that he wants to have sex with them. It's that he wants them to worship the ground that he walks on at all times.
Also, and the more they resist that, the more he wants it.
One of his vampire powers is, I'll make you come while I bite your neck. So.
I don't think that's specific to him. Yeah, I just don't think we saw enough other vampires bite necks.
Well, okay, but he's rocking it pretty well.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. We don't see... Listen, of all the other vampires in this movie, Antonio Banderas as Armand. Like, that's somebody who could be like, I am so sexy, I am going to make you come while I bite you.
And then do nothing with him.
No, it's just Lestat in this movie.
That's fair. Armand is the closest to tolerable of any of them the most amount of time, because at least at the beginning,
I mean,
when
the
he's
other
doing
three
his,
are
like,
pretty awful.
Yeah, but I'll take Lestat over Armand just because Armand is like, he's supposed to be the oldest, most capable, whatever, and he does nothing. Like,
he kind of seems like the most incapable.
Yeah, he's an empty bucket of nothing.
He's a little jealous bitch, and he kills Claudia.
I was going to say, when we first meet him, he is the most tolerable. He becomes just as fucking much of a loser by the end of it, where he's like, ugh.
You're just going
girl.
To walk away.
Let's be friends.
No, he doesn't just want to be friends. He wants to be companions.
Yeah, he wants to fuck him. I know. They're using the vampire word friends. They can't get their dicks up, so that's what they call it.
Well, they don't have blood flow.
I'm not saying why they can't get their dicks up.
I don't know, man. There's blood out there, and all you need is a syringe.
I mean,
you could probably make a penis pump work if you don't have any blood in your actual body. You just gotta get it in there somehow.
You know, you could just always wear a cock ring and never have to worry about gangrene in his dick.
I don't think that's how cock. I don't think cock rings can like make the blood. You need like penis pump then a cock ring.
No. What I'm saying is, he puts the ring on and then does the blood injection. So now it's engorged, and the blood has nowhere to go but stay in.
Here's the problem. It works the same way as Claudia's hair. The moment you'd put in the thing, you step into the bathroom immediately. You go to fuck, and it just instantly limp again.
He puts in so much effort to get in his vampire dick hard, and then the instant he turns and looks away, it's just back to flying.
That was the weirdest thing that they added to the vampire mythos, is that like, he died with sideburns, so he can never not have a perfectly clean shaving face and sideburns.
Yep, that's right.
It's a good thing that neither Lestat or Louis died scruffy.
Not one vampire did not have long hair. I don't get if like when you become a vampire, it'll grow out long, or if everyone just happened to have long hair.
And also those long fingernails.
Yeah.
Not claws, just pinkies.
Well, but those you grow as the vampire, right? It's not that he did
that doesn't make any sense. Why would that grow, but your hair not grow?
Well, and my other thing is, where does it end, right? Like, where's the limit? Like, if you've got funky teeth because you hadn't brushed for a few weeks when
perfect because you get all cleaned up when you transform
You notoriously do get new teeth as a vampire.
Everyone gets the, like, zero level cantrip of, like, prestidigitation as soon as they transform.
That's good, so you don't have, like, a toothache for eternity.
Yeah. It's like this. The reason for it is that, like, one of the signs that someone was a vampire, like, you know, back in when, you know, vampires were scary and not sexy, is that, like, they would dig people up and they'd, like, think that their fingernails had grown or that their hair had grown, but it was really just that, like, the skin around their fingernails had pulled back. And so it looked like that had gotten longer, and that's why they have long hair in this movie, I think. Or it's just
they're just ignoring the fact that your fingers look pruny, like you've been in water for the past 12 hours.
They're not very smart.
The movie, and Rick, you told us that this is kind of Anne Rice started a lot of these the sexy vampire tropes.
I mean, this is where a lot of it came from.
Yeah, but the movie does a fun job, in my opinion, of picking which things of vampire mythos still apply and which things are new. Because, like, at the very beginning,
seems
when
like
Brad
only
Fred,
like one out of like no 20 it, of them apply.
Well, because when Christian Slater is interviewing Brad Pitt at the very beginning, and you know, the whole movie's taking place over the course of the interview, but at the beginning, he's like, so, like, do you hate the sun? What about crucifixes and all this? Right. And he's kind of going down the list, and Brad Pitt's like, well, I can't be in the sun, but I like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, coffins are the one thing that, you know, they get that right in the lore.
But why, though?
One of the things
that he doesn't say.
That's how it works, man. You got to be in your coffin.
Yeah, but
you're creature
should
of the night.
Create that. Like, that is important to give
apparently, all you need is smoke.
I don't know
also,
if she ever got to
it. Also,
if
you build a house out of coffins, is that kosher?
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
As long as the...
Why make a house out of coffins? You can just make a really big coffin.
What if I break a coffin down and sew it into my clothing?
I think you'd have to like still do like full burka and everything.
That's what I like. If does the house count as a coffin only if the roof opens and closes like a coffin?
Right. What if you had a glass coffin? Could you be outside then?
Oh, that's true. Maybe you could enjoy the sunrise then because you're in your car. It's like Snow White.
You just got to have like the UV glass, man.
I was going to say, I think only if it's UV glass will it work.
Snow White gets bit by a vampire. She gets buried in her glass coffin and it's just her like chilling in there every night or every day.
Yeah.
I think that one of the most annoying things to me of like vampire lore these days, of like since this movie, since this series came out, is the like, you know, I'm just going to ignore the parts I don't like and just make up some other shit. And there's just real no identity to this. And really the thing is, I'm just keeping the parts that I personally think are cool and throwing out all the other shit just because it's
like
boring.
New age vampire
lore. How is that
lore?
Not different from anybody that does their own spin on any pre-existing yeah. IP or
I'm annoyed when it's vampires.
Oh, that's what it is.
I like it when they redo the mythos, but they have to do it like they have to put effort into it.
I need
when
reasons
King Kong
for it.
Gets to jump around with a magic ancient axe, you're like, that's cool, I like he wields an axe now.
Yes.
But when vampires are hot, you're like, that's too far.
Well, no, vampires can't be hot. They just also need other shit.
This is the thing. I would really prefer there to be like a reason for what it is beyond the person writing this thinks it's cool. Yes. And like, I just need an in-universe like justification of like, why does sunlight kill vampires? Like, is it something magical?
What was the in-universe explanation of it before, other than like,
it's just common knowledge.
Sun is good and vampires are evil and good beats evil.
It depends a lot on which version of vampires.
That's what I'm saying. There's not a consistent through line.
No, there is in a lot of them. A lot of them is like, there are things that make sense depending on what version it is. For example, the reason that we all think of that actually comes from the movie Nosferatu, which mm-hmm. is where he is the idea is that the vampire is a living shadow. And so when it gets hit by sunlight, it disappears like a shadow does. That's why it mm-hmm. dies that way. And I'm pretty sure that might not be where the idea, but like in the universe of that, it makes sense for that story. And that's what I want. Like if you're going to throw out the religious stuff, but keep the sunlight thing, mm-hmm. that's a weird line to draw because it's like, what kind of magic? Yeah, like is it magical or is it just that like vampire DNA can't handle sunlight? And if so, like, could I just shine a UV on him? Or does it need to be magically the sun? Why doesn't the moon fuck them up? Because that's also sunlight, motherfucker.
Listen, Rick, you know the difference between hard sci-fi and soft sci-fi,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, this is just soft. This is just soft gothic horror.
Everything
vampire
about this
drama.
Movie is soft, and it makes me soft, and I don't appreciate it.
Get a cock ring and inject the needle.
Yeah, there you go, bud. I like the tone of this movie a lot because it's so dramatic.
Genuinely, or you like laughing at it?
I like laughing at it enough that it is boiled over to like I'm not at the this movie's so bad that it's good level.
You're not
I'm
ironically just at, enjoying it. You're just having a good time.
It started off
with
as
it.
Ironic yeah. enjoyment, and by the end of it, I was like, man, that was just a good time.
Do you
and
think it was self aware? Because I was
way?
Having a lot of trouble knowing that if I didn't know if it was making fun of itself in some way.
I think it is hardcore serious.
Okay. I think that some of the other people involved in the production of the movie were probably self-aware of
it. I don't think that counts.
But that Anne Rice probably was
Anne
not.
Rice
I don't know. This came
not.
Out in what?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
It's like a movie of the 80s.
Like when you see how hammy and how overdramatic some of the scenes in this movie are, I have to be like, okay, like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt know how ridiculous this is, but they're just really leaning into it full tilt.
Yes.
Especially when you see how they act in other, like, they are not nearly this over-the-top dramatic in other roles.
Yeah, but it's also been
years. I think they're just like, yeah, this is just the type of movie we're in, and we're going to go whole hog for it.
See, specifically with Brad Pitt, it feels like he was told to not try. What he reminds me of is every like Natalie Portman in Star Wars performance of like, I'm being dramatic, but I'm doing it
honestly
badly.
Pretty good metaphor.
And like, if you only showed me that, like I've seen other movies with Brad Pitt where he is an excellent actor. I think mm-hmm. he is a very,
sure,
he's very
he
good at his
good.
Craft.
And very expressive actor.
He's fucking terrible in this movie. And I don't know if it's on purpose. And I don't know if it's just
like
this is what
he's channeling the, I'm pissed that I didn't get to be Lestat throughout his performance as Louis.
If you were going to be a petty bitch, that is the perfect emotion to channel to play Louis.
I really don't feel like he would have made
it. He's got a monotone and all the voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
I feel like he would have had more fun with it.
Oh, yes. I just mean between the two people there,
I don't know.
I don't think he would have made a bigger mistake.
I think that Tom Cruise did do a good job with it because he really does embody that, like, fucked up manipulative nature, and I don't know if that's just because he's good at Scientology, but like he does kind of really pull off that in a way.
He's got
that
a little bit
do.
Of the manic in him.
Oh, 100%. He's like the Harley Quinn for boys back then.
But the irony is the fact that Brad Pitt's character is supposed to be like the one vampire that can feel real hard.
Yeah.
He is utterly emotionless.
Yeah.
Why is that supposed to be his thing?
Well, no, I don't think it's that he's emotionless.
Yes, that's fine. But why was he a pet? Like, was it because
that
he
was
grieving
his
wife?
Power.
But why?
It's not that.
What about
it's
his
that.
Character? Was his heart just three sizes too big when he became a vampire? Like,
you've
got
to remember
deal?
That this is told from Louis's perspective, and Louis is fucking full of shit. Like, yeah. Even if I had only read Interview with a Vampire, I would come away with that impression. Like, Louis is a melodramatic, lying, punk-ass bitch.
Still a vampire.
So, okay. Still a vampire, yes.
No, that's why, like, any of those things you just say applies to vampires.
No, I know.
At no point lying, do they not.
He is in many ways prototypical of what we think of today when we think of vampires, like a lot
Twilight
of that
vampires.
Came from, yeah, yeah, that is pulled. This is one of the most influential works of fiction in a long time in a
there
lot of ways,
go.
And I don't fucking appreciate it.
No, it created a very bad era for a while.
Yeah, the only good thing to come from it was Underworld.
Underworld was all right.
That's what I mean.
Okay, so
which one?
So do you think that
as a whole? None of them were great, but they were
first
all
one's
right.
Pretty good.
So if
pretty
you
tolerable.
Think that Louis is full of shit,
yeah.
Do you think that he actually still like holds on to shreds of his humanity, or do you think that's just like what he tell like as a vampire?
That is,
that's what he tells himself to make himself feel.
That
better
is absolutely
about
that's
being a sad sack.
That's 1,000% what he tells himself. Because if he actually had any shreds of humanity, he'd just fucking off himself.
Well, but
to
then
get out
why
of the,
does he have such an issue with eating people for so long in the movie?
Because he's a lazy, whiny bitch who doesn't want to do anything. He is the most
no,
apathetic.
You can't
sad
chalk
sack.
That up to
no, no,
laziness.
No. I'm not saying laziness in terms of like, oh, I just don't want to do anything. I mean, in terms of like, he is apathetic is a better word than lazy. He does not have any sense of agency, and it's one of the reasons the book is fucking insufferable. Things just happen around him for literally hundreds of years. Louis does not want to take action until he is just absolutely forced to. He is, and so because of that, the path of least resistance is to eat people and cry about it.
Listen, we've talked about this before, and I appreciate that you read the book and hated it, but we also do have to talk about the movie
no,
within
I mean,
the,
I think
within
that's
the
true
terms of the movie.
That's true in the movie, too,
because
I think
in the movie, it's not just like... Like, it's clear that he has trouble with killing people.
Yes,
and it's because he does not like the soulless thing that he's become
yes.
as a vampire.
Correct.
And he feels conflicted because he's like, I need to eat, but I don't feel that it's okay to inflict this condition on other people. So
but
I'm going
to
eat shitty rat food.
Okay, like also murder people.
Yeah, he doesn't have to murder people either.
He can just drink and then stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Lestat's...
That seems kind of unsustainable.
But Lestat's the guy in the background going chug, 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 chug,
yes.
chug.
Yes.
And he's afraid that the moment he sinks his teeth in, like... The
he's
vampire
gonna
is going to wash over him and he's going to not be able to
yes.
stop.
And if he had an ounce of the moral conviction that he pretends to, he'd fucking walk into sunlight.
Or at least get the fuck away from Lestat.
I mean, that too. Like, Lestat is...
No, but
like,
in movie, he's like, Lestat is my only connection to my new life as a vampire. He's the only thing I have to show me, like, how to do the things... Like, what is my culture
after,
now
like,
as a vampire?
After, like, 80 years?
Yeah, I think after the first, like, 10, 20 years, he kind of figured that
time
part out.
Time works different when you're a vampire.
This is the thing. Lestat is exactly the kind of manipulative asshole that we've all known people who have dated, like, that exact kind of person at least once. And Louis... It, like all of those people, is just making a bad mistake and is not willing to like burn down that bridge, though he really needs to.
He makes me think of Matt Smith from Morbius.
The stat does?
Yeah.
I would rather Matt Smith in Morbius because at least he's fun.
Listen, it's not the same though because Brad Pitt, because Louis doesn't know that there's many other fish in the sea for him. He has said that like he's looked for vampires everywhere. Louis's the only vampire he's ever found.
Yeah, because he's like looking for
he made him.
He's looking for some sort of meaning in his like horrifying condition when no matter how you look at it, no, there's not one. You're just a fucking monster. Kill yourself.
I mean, you could figure
if you're a vampire,
out.
If you are a normal person, in no way does yeah. that mean kill yourself.
Easier said
kill
than
yourself
done.
In Minecraft.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there could be a benefit to like studying a vampire. He could find purpose in life, is
if
what
he
I'm saying.
If he wanted to. But again, purpose. He is an apathetic loser who just wants to be
just,
a sad, mopey
no,
sad sack.
It just takes longer to work through your malaise as a vampire.
No, he never will. He will just always be in a malaise. That's one of the things about them that they're very like specific about. You will always be what you are is just sort of what they hammer home. You do not change.
In the series, does he continue to be a character or does he get written out for...
Yeah, no, he's still a character.
Like, okay.
He shows up. But like very quickly, Lestat is the main character of the
well,
thing.
Lestat's
the one with the personality.
Yeah, and he like...
Well, Stat's more fun. He's the one. He's like, I like preying on the aristocrats that are nasty little bitches to each other.
I can appreciate that he goes after evil.
I mean,
he doesn't only go after evil, but I appreciate that he appreciates it.
Sometimes he's like, I'm in the mood to drink some evil.
I don't even think it's about evil. I think that's what he says to make, like, Louis feel a little better about it. I think he just wants something that's, like, pricey. He wants to feel like he's eating duck instead of chicken. Yeah. Like, and that's all there is to it. It's not that there's
duck
anything
even better
moral about it. It's just this is
But he's
rarer.
A bastard in a way that's funny.
Yes. Lestat is infinitely more interesting as a character than Louis because
he
Lestat
is very merchandisable.
And
he's very active. Louis is not. Louis has to be forced to do anything. Lestat is out there fucking shit up wherever he goes.
Which, and in the movie, there's not a ton of time where it's just Louis because we either get him with Lestat, which is pretty entertaining, or him with Claudia. And I'll say that I was surprised by how well Kristen Dunst did in this movie.
She
as a
nailed
kid.
It. Oh, yeah.
Because she was, I mean,
especially
how old
as
is
a
she?
Child
she was like
actress.
Eight or something like that?
I don't even know if it was. I'll look it up while you watch.
She was little girl, very young.
I have to say 8 to 11.
This is like when I watched whatever the kid's name or whatever the actor's name is in Sixth Sense. And I'm just like, man.
Haley
that
Joel
kid,
Osment.
Yeah, Haley
that
Joel
kid
Osment.
Is being a good job actually delivering lines as a kid, which is very rare.
Kristen Dunst was 11 years old in this movie.
How old was the character?
Like a child, it depends on like what point
well,
you're
like
talking about.
50 by
when
the end of the
movie.
She
first becomes because her age after that doesn't fucking matter.
In the book, my memory is that she's like 6, but like
she did not look 6.
No, like but she's supposed to just be a child. That's the important thing. Yeah. She's pre-pubescent.
She finding 6 year olds that can act not easy.
Because there's a part in the movie where like it says 30 years has passed, right? So despite still being a child in the body of a child, she's 30 years older and she's presumably seeing people grow.
Yes.
And realizing that she's not. And there's a scene where she's walking down the street and some lady's just like
naked singing, in her bathing.
Blinds, who needs them? Yeah. I'm just
closing doors. Who does that?
Naked with my door open.
I mean,
view
while
of
people
the
walk by.
Creole people. Apparently this is normal.
Apparently so.
New Orleans, man.
And she sees it and she's like, damn, I don't have titties. Why don't I have titties and muff?
Like one of them is like, do you want her? And she's like, I want to be her. And I'm thinking like, is she going to like hollow her out? Because like, I'm wondering like when she's going to take her turn. Because I know there's going to be her turn.
Mm-hmm. And there's the scene where she finally realizes that she won't ever be able to grow.
Yeah.
And she like puts Lestat and Louis on blast for it. Mm-hmm. And she does a really good job. She's like, I think there's one part where like her and Lestat have been arguing and the argument's coming to a close and it's clear she's not going to get her way. And she does this thing with her head that's just very, she like cocks her head as she's walking past in a way that I was like, that's good physical acting along with just delivering the lines, which is something more than I'd expect for an actress of that age.
Honestly, she is a better actor in this movie than Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise, I think.
Tom Cruise did great.
He did fine. I think she did better than him. I believe her more than that.
I think she did a really good job. And
she's believable that she's like a 40-year-old woman in a 10-year-old's body.
Yeah. Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
And especially when you're actually a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it feel more sad when later on Antonio Banderas as Armand just plots to kill her.
What is Antonio Banderas? Okay, is it just the whole like, oh, Louis, you can feel? Is that what we're supposed to take away, like why he's obsessed with him? Because I know the real reason is that Louis is a self-obsessed asshole and he's the one telling the story. But like, what is Armand's actual infatuation with him?
What I got from it is he's essentially sick of his other vampire friends.
The decadent.
Because they're all
just
like,
all being like the decadent debauchery guys.
And so because Louis comes in and he's like...
Oh,
self-flagellation. Yeah,
smacking himself on the ass.
No, self-flagellation is what happens when Josh eats pork.
Correct. Self-flagellation and oh, woe is me, being a vampire is morally difficult. He's like, something a little bit deeper than the inch of morality that I'm currently wading in with my other friend group.
Than the like acting troupe of vampires that eat women every night as part of their performance.
Correct.
I don't think it's only women every night.
That's fair. I could see them like doing this to a guy as well. But like I feel like there's a reason they do it to a woman instead. To me,
I think the Paris audience is like coming to see a woman get vampirized. Get eaten,
yeah. I have to know the logistics behind how do you steal an attractive woman every night for part of your performance.
They're vampires.
And get away with it.
They're vampires.
I mean, how do you do that in general? That's what they do in every single city they go to.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. I want to know, like, how, like, is there one of the vampires in the back, like, okay, we've done this
you know
10
the trick?
Nights in a row.
You know the trick
back
then?
Police are starting to get on to me.
Here's the trick. You just steal it from, you steal the next night's performance victim from the city you're leaving.
I think they just, because I mean it's like Jack the Ripper stuff, like he got away with like way more than he should. I think they can just
if it's in the city where they're in, you'd think that
that was also like
Suzanne went
Paris.
Missing the night after she was brutally murdered on stage in that play that we didn't she was a part of.
I want to know if anyone has ever like shown up to that play and seen someone they knew like getting eaten. Like, that'd be way more dramatic, I think. I would read that short story.
Well, Rick, I didn't know you were an actor. That's crazy.
Plus, they have,
that was a convincing death.
They have a free gig out of, a gig out of jail free card in that they could just turn the police commissioner into a vampire and he's suddenly there.
I could just
also, I don't necessarily, I don't know that they're a traveling troupe because it
doesn't
really,
seem like
it really appear, it really feels like they're living in the crypt underneath the
They're probably
the
traveling in the sense of vampires to where, like, every 100 years is actually, like, a small amount of time for them or whatever compared to us.
Yeah. I guess when you could just... You don't have any, like, living expenses if you're just, like, in a crypt somewhere.
Rats.
So they can just kind of do whatever they want.
Well, free rats.
Free...
It's free rat estate.
I mean, if we're going the Jack the Ripper route, it's free prostitutes.
Yeah.
But none of them like free rats.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Vampires
rats
aren't
are
big
option.
Rat fans.
So the reason that they fucked up Claudia and Louis was specifically that they had killed Lestat. Was that the idea?
No.
Well, that's
Armand
saying.
Armand used the fact that he killed Lestat
as an excuse
to have Claudia killed.
Okay.
Because
so that he could have
because
him
Louis had made it clear. He was like, hey, I'm not going anywhere without Claudia.
and Armand
took
was
like
I can
no,
fix that.
You should just be here with me. Well, only if Claudia can come too. And he's like, there has to be a solution to this, problem.
So, when you become a vampire, do you get any kind... Because some of them were pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Some of them could fly, supposedly. I saw one fly for a minute.
Yeah.
You set them on fire and they can all fly.
Yes. I feel like... Didn't Louis fly at some point? I feel like he flew for a little while.
Who?
Louis?
I don't think I ever saw him fly.
I don't think it was like flying, because I think the moment that I'm thinking of is when early in the movie... Lestat and Louis they go to a party, and this is where the aristocrat with the little poodles is there. And Louis chickens out, and he's eating the poodles instead of the aristocrat.
Right. And then he, like, tackles them.
Lestat comes over and just snaps the lady's neck.
Right.
And then they get into a scuffle. And so that's the scene that I remember where it feels like...
Their
I don't know
physical
if it's flying,
ability.
But,
right.
like, Louis is clearly lifting him up much higher off the ground.
So
than
presumably there is some strength to be gained here, but not if you're, like, 11 years old.
Well,
apparently,
I forget who says it, but at some point they talk about how, like... The more you do your vampire business, the stronger you become. But it takes time.
Yeah. But not for if you become a vampire at 11, because apparently you can't defend yourself for whatever reason.
I mean, maybe it's just that she's so young, but I think it's also
her body is too tiny to... You're not supposed... Even in vampire code, as much as it is, you're not supposed to turn little kids because they just can't fend for themselves.
But that's why I don't get it. See, if they keep using their powers and getting stronger, wouldn't they eventually still be stronger than a human?
I mean,
setting yourself back years and years and years.
I don't think we ever saw her overpower human. I think she just used the fact that she was a little girl
to kill her. She killed several people.
Well, yeah, but she didn't overpower them. She just killed them.
But I think that she is stronger than a regular human. I think that the issue is that she's not strong enough to turn anyone. Because, like, it seems to fuck Lestat up every time he does it. So I think there's some amount of...
It seems like it's just the amount of blood that you can... Like, you have to give a certain number of pints to somebody to
like
turn them into a vampire.
Yeah.
Like,
and
Breath of the Wild.
Claudia only has, like, 2 pints of blood. In her whole body.
She just needs to drink a whole lot the night before.
That's why she preferred the bigger meals.
Yeah, there you go.
Again, syringe.
But we do also see that.
I'm going to be borrowing your erection syringe.
We do at least see that other vampire fly when it's like flying up out of the well to do like the, I'm an angel flying up to heaven.
In my mind, that was just staged 3-act, but it probably was vampires doing vampires.
I think
pretending it was staged.
Exactly. That's how I think you're supposed to take it. Of like everyone's not freaked out by it because they think it's some kind of trick, but actually he is actually flying, which is what those vampires, I think, get off on.
I tell you who has the worst deal as a vampire in this movie is Madeline. Madeline is the lady
the new mommy
that Claudia picks.
Yeah.
Because she knows that Louis is going to end up with Armand. And right. It's inevitable, no matter how much Louis might protest. And so she says, you know, I found my companion. You need to turn her for me.
Yeah.
And it's, there's a lady who had a child that died, and Claudia is the child that can never die. And so they're going to be a little vampire mommy and baby and be happy forever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Which would totally work out.
Yeah, 100%. All Armand had to do was let him go.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, Armand is a giant asshole, like, as all vampires are.
And Armand didn't know that Louis wouldn't want, like, weekend visitation with Claudia.
Yeah, had to get that shit out of there.
That should
forever.
Be fine. I mean, they've got hundreds of years together.
No. Armand
no
wants
loose
to be.
End.
Yeah, he's a one vampire kind of vampire.
No,
he doesn't share.
I feel like if Armand
he's not about
was
to get
like,
cucked by Claudia,
the no loose ends thing. Like, I feel like Armand did this the stupidest way possible, which is
I can only assume it's not from collecting intelligence over 400 years so much as just laziness of, like, I've gotten away with everything 400 years. Why do I need to put
effort in? You get complacent.
Right.
That's the only way I can figure he would do something like this.
I think it's just at a certain point, like, when you are writing this kind of story, you get a little too wrapped up in the, too sexy of the entire thing.
Yes.
And you stop thinking, like, hey, actually, if Armand had a brain cell in his brain, wouldn't he, like, set this up in a way so that it doesn't look like he's the one who did all of this, and instead it was his followers who just got out of hand? That way he's got the plausibility to be like, oh, Louis, I'm so sorry that my followers killed your daughter.
That's
what he says at first. Come to me, my Louis.
That's the first thing he does.
Yeah, but he's dumb as fuck, and it's very obvious from moment one that that's not what happened.
He's not playing the game at all. He is just, like, immediately doing, like, they've got hundreds of years to, like, play this game out, and he's just like, I need this done by Tuesday.
Exactly. I need to start hanging out with my totally not gay lover friend now rest of eternity.
Man, but the erotic tension when Louis's breaking up with Armand in the art gallery, it's the weirdest breakup, because Louis has Armand's...
He finally has the power to cuck himself.
He never has. That's his dark gift.
Right. He's got Armand's face in his hands, and he's like, he's positioned the faces where they're like nuzzling noses, like their lips are like an inch away from each other.
As Louis is
verbally like, I will never be with you. You disgust me. I'm leaving and you'll never see me again.
Which is exactly what gives Armand the closest thing to a boner he's ever had.
And Armand's like, kill me.
Denied.
Finally, kill me. Yes. No. Finally, once I cannot kill someone and not be a bag of cuck about it.
And then Armand just splooges all over inside of his pants.
But still soft.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Because that's how vampires do it. Vampires are soft little losers.
I mean, if they can fly. Mm-hmm. There's no reason they can't only fly one part of their body.
They can't levitate their dick up.
Yes.
That doesn't give it rigidity.
Yeah.
It needs rigidity.
If it's a stronger mage hand, you can make it have rigidity.
No.
Yes.
That does not. No.
Have you not seen jelly-like dildos?
You mean silicone?
The ones that are like jiggly.
Jiggly.
Yes.
No.
Google jiggly dildo.
I will not.
It doesn't need to be rigid.
I'm now thinking about that Jello GIF with Cosby in it.
Jello wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Exactly.
I mean, they seem to have that consistency, and apparently, I mean, they sell them for a reason, I would assume.
It's also...
I feel like no matter how hard you try, it would be like rolling up a piece of bologna and just trying to push a button.
Yeah, but
it's trying to push a button with a piece of rolled up bologna.
But that
it doesn't matter how tightly you hold the rolled up piece of bologna.
Yeah, but you are taking
you're still just mushing a soggy lump against this bone.
You are thinking of it in the sense that you're using a real hand, not a like Kiggy Pry hand that can go through anything.
you're completely encompassing
your penis
somehow, like pushing it in from the end.
Or just
point, what you're describing is that when vampires are fucking, they're fucking each other with fly, not with genitals. At that point, why even aim the genital? You're just fucking with fly.
What is fly? Why do you keep saying
the
fly?
The force that you are describing keeping the genital in place.
Again, that force goes through anything that can go through a wall that is just there to keep the penis in position. It's not like you'll be feeling...
So, but the end of the penis is still going to just be mushy baloney.
So I get why
but there are
boy
nerves.
Vampires...
There is no blood!
I get why boy vampires don't fuck, but I feel like girl vampires still could.
You know, that's fair. Girl vampires, you know, scissoring would still work as a vampire.
Assuming, like, anything happens
at all. Unless the nerve endings...
That's the only thing I can think.
It's basically what it is like in the book. It's sort of the same thing of like
she
why
covers
they,
that.
No, not explicitly, but like
also vampires can't scissor.
Does she cover the penis?
Not specifically. Basically, it's like they're like that hunger ended, like my hunger for food. I no longer wanted these pleasures.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because later on, the works that derive from this,
yeah.
vampires get plenty horny. They're back to wanting well, the
I
bone.
I was about to say like.
I'm okay with vampires being like, we only want to fuck each other intellectually.
No, yeah. Like, in this one, it's all about, like, the metaphor of, like, turning someone else into a vampire and all that is the...
But you can be asexual and still get a boner.
Yes, but in this case, it was much more of, like, boning doesn't give us pleasure.
Part of them died.
Yeah. Yes. I get that. But they did not explicitly say that a penis cannot get hard. They're just saying that they don't want to use it.
Armand looks down and he's like, I wonder what that's here for.
I think that they know what it's there for. They just don't want it anymore.
I should not have worn my baggy pants.
Oh, too sexy.
Too sexy. Well, everyone else in the room.
You see little bat wings flapping in there? But I must.
I must. It has its own cape.
Yes, of course. Wow.
Bust.
You think it has one fang out the end or two underneath the head?
I think he says, I did not suck blood.
Blood.
Oh gosh. I do not want to gabble blood.
I want to gabble a cock.
That is full of
the accent leaves. Accidentally.
I want to gabble cock.
He doesn't want to get that. He doesn't want to cross any wires when he's getting to that point.
Clear speaking, communication.
Speaking of accents, the way that both Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise talk throughout this entire movie is like they have wandering accents, but it's not a wandering accent. It's just wandering being uppity.
Yes. I think that when it comes to Brad Pitt, it seems like it's a wandering accent. When it comes to Tom Cruise, he is putting on airs and being of higher status than maybe he was as a human.
Yeah.
But then when he gets fed up, he's just immediately back to, fuck you, Louis.
Yeah. I'm so tired of your bullshit.
I'm tired of your bullshit, Louis.
It was shut up, Louis. That's
shut up, Louis.
Shut up, Louis.
Yeah.
You burned all our stuff. Great job, Louis.
Where are we going to get another mansion, Louis?
God, Lestat is just such a petty bitch.
Wait.
Was that mansion originally Louis' mansion?
Yes. Yeah.
I like how pissy he is about his, like, that he's been freeloading.
The painting Louis sets fire to is the painting of his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. I'm thinking about what my favorite part of the movie is, and it's just how dramatic everyone is, but especially Lestat. The moment, my favorite moment, and I have a lot, but my favorite moment is... Claudia has tricked Lestat into drinking dead blood. So as opposed to drinking the blood out of a live being, whether it's a rat or a human, the kids that she's brought as a present to him are dead already.
Yeah.
And so he's drinking dead blood, which I thought at first would kill them, but I guess it just makes them really sick and they can't access their vampiric strength anymore. I do have another question about that.
Do you think if you were to go to a hospital where someone donated blood, as long as that person is still alive, can you drink the blood in there without being considered dead blood, or is it being away from the body too long?
I don't know. I guess. Do you think she has thought about it at all? Maybe it's not the blood itself. It's like when you're sucking off of a dead corpse.
When you're sucking off a dead corpse.
You're getting some of the necrosis from the corpse in you. Mm-hmm. Because there's also some times where Lestat will like wring out somebody's wrist into a martini glass and be like, Louis, have a sip. And like, it doesn't seem like there's an issue with that. I think it's just when you're sucking blood from a corpse.
He did talk about how it got cold really fast. And maybe like after it gets a certain amount, like maybe there is a time limit once it's outside the body.
I think warmth is just nice.
Maybe.
I think sucking blood from a corpse is the problem, not the blood itself. Is it kind of like a
glass of milk where it gets that ring around the glass?
Yeah, it's
kind of skinny.
Yeah.
Correct. Anyway. He has been tricked by Claudia into drinking the dead blood, and she uses as an opportunity to try and kill him. She slits his throat, and then her and Louis dump Lestat into the swamp.
Were we giving any inclination that you're in a weakened state from dead blood? Like, it fucks with your healing?
It didn't come up before that.
Then why does she know about it?
She was warned by Lestat.
Yeah. Okay. She says it was like one of the one things he taught her.
Yes.
Well, he said not to drink dead blood because you get too close to death.
There's a 30-year time skip. I'm assuming he covered some more of the details.
That's okay.
There.
But I think we as viewers and readers, it should be covered.
I'll tell you what happened. She needed it to she needed to weaken Lestat somehow, and she was like, all right, what does it? Fuck it.
Then just drink from a dead body. She wrote the story,
and included that. Yes, yes, I agree. 100%.
It's a few more words in that sentence.
Foreshadowing is important. Yes.
So my favorite part is after they've dumped his body into the swamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of time passes.
They're still in the house and all that.
They're still in the house, and all of a sudden, Louis hears a knock at the door, and he goes to the door, and he looks around, and nobody's there. And then all of a sudden, there's a hand there, and it turns out that Lestat didn't die in the swamp. He survived by eating the blood of alligators and toads and snakes and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when Lestat comes back into the house,
you're damn right he does.
Rather than confront them in the foyer or immediately start breaking shit, the first thing he does is he goes back to the piano.
I've got to work through these feelings.
All of his swampy goodness, and he's just like mashing the shit. He's playing
it. Yeah.
Oh, he's playing so furiously. He's
well,
so good.
It's a little slower there than he was before. He's definitely still
some power into
yeah,
it.
There's feeling there,
and that's just such the drama queen move, and I love it. It's so entertaining that's the first thing he does when he gets back, as he goes back to the piano. It's so entertaining to me. Least favorite part of the movie is I enjoyed him because of how well he played off of the other fun characters, but on his own, Louis is very miserable.
Oh, yeah. The worst.
It's just a weird choice for your storyteller and protagonist. I feel like he should be...
He acts almost like a blank slate for a lot of other fun characters to be bounced off of.
That's normal to have the blank slate be the one telling the story, because you're supposed to be able to put yourself into it.
But he's also a miserable
blank. Yeah, he's not blank. He's just full of misery.
The reason is why she wrote the book. She wrote this basically to get over the loss of her own child. And so that's why Louis is the way he is, essentially.
Okay.
Well, I won't berate a woman for trying to process the death of her child.
I won't.
I'll
that.
Say that
but
Louis
that
is a miserable sack of shit.
But the thing that she sold, I will berate the shit out of that.
I enjoy him within the context of the movie and of the other characters, but on his own, Louis's pretty miserable.
Yes.
Overall, though,
with other people, he's pretty miserable.
Louis just miserable.
I have so much fun watching this movie. It's very entertaining, and regardless of how good it is, I have a 4 out of 5, you make me feel. It's just so much fun. I have a good time with this.
My favorite part of this movie about pedophilic serial killer monsters is...
Whoa. Only intellectually pedophilic. Vampires do not have the sexual relations.
Look.
You're allowed to think with a 10-year-old,
the
Rick.
Way that they look when they are eating people, that's telling me it's all about sex. This movie is horny as fuck, and they do the same shit to kids. So, pedophilic serial killer, the movie, my favorite thing about it, though, is probably Claudia. Claudia
is great.
Kills it. She really is the heart and soul of this movie. And that's necessary because the whole story is about Brad Pitt's relationship to her more than really anything else, even Lestat. It's about how she was his last hope for any sort of love or gentleness or kindness, and it was just ripped away from him unfairly by Armand. And I think that she really does an excellent job of portraying something incredibly difficult, which is being an older person than an 11-year-old is, with the experience of the world that an 11-year-old just would not have.
Right.
And I think she just really did an amazing job of that. So I'm very impressed with Kirsten Dunst in that regard. My least favorite part of this movie about sad sacked soft baby dick losers is Louis himself. He is just fucking insufferable. He is
in a fun way, though.
No.
I hate him. I cannot.
No,
in
the scenes that he's in is fun.
How much of the series have you read?
Just this one book. I'm aware.
How many
of
are there?
A bunch. And I saw the crazy shit that
she had a lot of kids die.
Does Louis
fuck?
Does she never get him? Get Louis a worse Louis for Louis, so that Louis knows what he's been doing to people.
As far as I know, no, she does not. But Louis is apathetic, and that is just not fun for a main character. Even if your character is going to be a sad sack loser like so many vampires are, it cannot get behind making your character someone who doesn't want to do anything, and that's who Louis is at his core. He is just apathetic and sad, and oh, woe is me. Murder, feel bad for me as I murder lots of people and kids. And I can't get over what a pathetic loser he is in the story he is telling about himself.
Did we ever see... Well, of course he hates himself most of all, but yeah. Did we ever see him kill a kid?
We saw him bite Claudia. Yeah.
He said specifically
she was dying.
Yeah.
That's all you need, Brian. You don't need to kill more than one kid.
I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to assume that was like a mercy kill, whereas I want to know if after that, if he was like, you know, killing kids is fine now.
I feel like at some point he probably, if not got over it, never was really bothered about the kids that Claudia murdered on screen or the kid that Armand was drinking.
Of all the vampires, Claudia's the one that's allowed to kill kids.
Yes, I think so.
She's the kid.
Don't you think
so? Yeah, it's cool for kids to kill kids.
Yeah, Rick.
Rick, you are not allowed to beat someone else's child, but you are absolutely allowed to teach your child to beat their child.
Yes.
You might not have started that fight, but you ended.
Adults cannot punch kids. Vampires can eat kid humans. Adult vampires should not eat kid humans.
Yes, because then that...
Louie. Anyway.
Agreed.
Anyway. But all that said, I am extremely impressed with this movie overall. Mm-hmm. Like, my issues with Louis as a character aside, I really think that everyone basically brought their A-game. I'm not impressed with Brad Pitt, but it's whatever.
Did you enjoy it more than you enjoyed reading the book?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Good.
Way more. Partly because, again, this is not six times longer than this was. Mm-hmm. I think that the special effects are what really stood out to me and why I'm going to give it such a high rating, because there's a lot of scenes that just really look amazing. Like when the vampire is dancing his way up the tunnel wall, mm-hmm. Like they just really did some really cool stuff with
there's
that.
There's only one special effect that stands out as not holding up, and it's at the very end when Louis is going around burning everybody.
Yeah, there's one scene where
he's burning everybody, there's great. Amazing special effects and stunt work where you mm-hmm. see some stunt guys are like
flying
purely on fire, flying all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. But there's like one shot of a vampire whose CG face is melting that doesn't hold up. And it's the only shot in the movie where I'm like, that looks shitty.
Yeah, exactly. 100% agree with that.
What year did Ghostbusters come out?
Which one?
The first one.
86? 87?
So this one was after Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah, definitely after.
Then they had no excuse. That CG's great.
Yeah. It's not CG. It's anyway.
Ghostbusters CG.
It's not CG.
None of it's CG?
No, they didn't have computer CG until
I thought they started.
That started around CG like 93 when they did Jurassic Park. Like that was one of the first really big. Like they probably had it before that, but like that's the first one where it like really took off and was good.
Yeah, Ghostbusters was 84.
Gotcha. Anyway, overall, I am going to give this 4 out of 5. Shut the fuck up, Louis.
Shut up, Louis.
Shut up, Louis. That's my favorite line of the entire movie, because it's the one moment where it feels like, ah, this genuinely happened.
He actually gets it.
This world, in the real world of this movie, not the story that Louis is telling, that happened. That moment occurred.
Yeah.
My actual favorite part is the same thing as Josh's, but my other favorite part is also my least favorite part, which is them introducing a unique mythos and power set for something. Where
vampires get some unique powers, but also you don't see that each vampire has a unique power.
The worst part is that, like, why introduce that everyone has different dark powers and then never, which again, maybe they do in the other books and other stuff, but I want to see it now.
Yeah,
sure.
Why introduce it and do a whole book of not using that?
Because that wasn't what she was interested in.
Yeah.
And then don't do it. Yeah. Then don't talk about it. Don't have it there at all.
She wanted to like dangle some threads and like be like, oh, look at the cool shit that we could do, maybe.
It's like a magic system that's just completely half-baked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter.
Well, and it would be one thing.
I was thinking it.
It would be one thing to say like, hey, we're all normal vampires, but Armand, he's got, like, he's just so old and powerful. He's got stuff that the rest of us can't do, and we don't know how he does it.
Right. And that would be,
and that's fine. That would then be cool. The people in universe don't get it. But when Lestat is like, oh yeah, the dark gift bestows different abilities on different people.
Right.
And also, you'll only get to see two of them in this movie.
Right. Yeah.
That's and lame. Only like once each.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they were just like, Lestat was full of shit. Everyone gets the same powers.
And well, I mean, it could also be in that sense of like everyone starts with different powers, sure. but they all get down the tree eventually.
Right, yeah.
Like Lestat starts
with it's a randomized shuffle for everybody.
Yeah, like Lestat starts with like telekinesis mind reading and flying, whereas
Claudia starts with hair regrowth.
Yeah.
And Louis gets crying.
Yes. I mean, that's rare for vampires. Mm-hmm. I bet it probably feels good to be able to cry when you can't come.
One leads to the other.
Yeah, I mean, something's coming out of you one way.
True. It's always better when the vampire's crying.
Is that like a new
euphemism for like draining the snake? Like, the old vampire's crying.
There's a Bloodhound Gang song called "It's Always Better When the Stripper's Crying."
Oh gosh.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, it's Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, but I really don't get people. They're like, I want to come up with my own power set, but never talk about it or use it or anything. But it exists.
It's people who want to be able to have an excuse to have shit happen later if they need to.
But not have to be held to rules.
Exactly.
They don't have to put the work in. Okay. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking.
It's not a shonen manga, Brian, of vampire power system.
I would like that, but it doesn't have to be. It just has to.
Has anyone done that yet? I feel like I just came up with Shonen Jump's new best new idea.
That's just for a long time. They did a really lame movie, American movie of it with
Vampire Hunter D.
No, okay. I think it was someone really weird for the main, like the kid meets a vampire who is the leader of a circus.
Okay.
And that guy turns him into a vampire, a half vampire or whatever.
Right.
And I remember whoever they cast for that main vampire was really weird. Like, it's one of the guys from Step Brothers or some shit.
Oh, no. Okay,
I'll have to look this up.
But there was a pretty good manga of that. That was interesting. But,
overall?
I was really surprised that Rick gave it a 4. There were a lot of times in this movie that I was like, but why, though? Like,
sure.
Why am I here watching this story right now? And it was entertaining, but I didn't see, like, why.
Yeah.
Like, what is the run through? What am I getting from this?
Right. You're getting Louis's tragic backstory.
You're getting, and that's fine. You're getting a tale.
Yeah.
The tale is fine, but why? Like, what is the end point?
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is that you shouldn't want any of this dark bullshit, but dumbasses will.
Okay.
Christian Slater.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
3.5 out of 5. A variety of things.
Okay. Poorly thought out power systems.
The moral of the story reminds me a lot of the origins of the ring wraiths in the Lord of the Rings. Whole like rings of power thing, like specifically the ones given to men.
Yeah.
This is going to do terrible things to you, but like every person of influence is kind of like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And they cannot resist it. And that's what reminds me of the whole like allure of vampirism, despite the fact everyone who is a vampire is like, this fucking sucks. Get your head out of your ass. And they're like, I don't care. Turn me into one.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I wish they had done a little bit more with it besides it just being one of the beats at the end. For me, I think the part, like, I really appreciated the practical effects that they use in this. I was just amazed. Like, and the scene where Lestat gets set on fire, I have no idea how they managed to pull this off, where there's obviously someone that looks like an actual human being. I don't know how they managed to get a stunt double who is just engulfed in flames climbing up the wall onto the ceiling and shit.
The climbing up the wall was really the impressive part to me. Like, that's amazing. Like, you can just have flame retardant clothes and like do stuff.
And I've looked, because I've been curious about it, so I've looked up stuff about it. You can have flame retardant clothes, and also different materials burn at different temperatures.
Sure.
And so you can have stuff like people who do coal walking, usually those coals are from something that burns at a lower temperature. So you're not, you can still scald your feet if you stay too long, but it's not like the instant you suffer third degree burn damage if you stepped on a normal fire.
Right? Or like 120 degrees as opposed to 300. Sure.
So there's ways of catching, I mean, it's still very dangerous and professional stuntmen only, right?
Right.
But it's, you know, it's possible to do. But doing that while also doing some cool acrobatic shit to make it look like you're a vampire flying around, that's pretty impressive.
Right. But also, there was, like, fire going around the entire room. I'm not going to buy that it was, oh, it's just, it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I don't know how they did it. It was really impressive. The scene where the coven, everybody's being set on fire because Luby decided to go postal. Also super impressive.
And yet they, again, another like, why was it so easy to do that?
Because in the real world, Luby was probably like, yeah, I'll totally do all that stuff. But in reality, he just was like, eh, at the vampire.
He just left.
Yeah, he just left. And was like, it'd be really cool.
And this coven decided, we're just not going to post a guard. Despite they're in a city that like never sleeps. Like they're in Paris, right?
You can't post a guard. You're all vampires. You have to be in your coffin.
Louis was up.
You have
up.
To be just in the dungeon somewhere.
Get that you little just woke boy. Up early.
Get that little boy. Then, they're all eating
yes,
to do it.
Get your human like manservants. They are totally
God
down.
God forbid that a vampire sleep in a little bit.
Yes.
They could just have a different sleep schedule. Like they could be inside the underground dungeon. I'm pretty sure they're going to be fine when the sun comes up.
They sleep in all day.
Boo.
Okay, so visual gag I don't think anyone's going to appreciate, but that's the main vampire in that.
Yeah.
Brian's showing us a picture of a manga
vampire.
This is
him in the movie.
Oh, my.
Hopefully he'll...
John C. Reilly?
Yeah.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's him. Uh-huh. Cool, collected teacher type. That's who they cast for him in the movie.
The author of that series is pissed.
Or dumb.
I don't know.
Brian, you're going to have to post this in the Discord, otherwise people are going to be missing out.
Yeah, Brian.
All right, that's fine.
Kayla, what was your favorite and least favorite part of the movie?
Well, I really enjoyed Louis setting everybody on fire. I was really impressed just by the practical effects, especially since you were thinking about how old this film is.
Yeah.
My least favorite part has to be... Beyond just that Louis is sad, I'm going to highlight the fact that Armand is not particularly impressive despite supposedly being the most powerful vampire alive.
Yeah. That seems
he's also not particularly clever.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I expected him to try and force Louis to stay.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's just like Louis just kind of walks away and he's like, oh, I never saw this coming. And that's it.
He's a big pile of nothing and it really bothers me.
Yeah.
Having said all that stuff, I have to appreciate the role that it plays in popularizing. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just not sexy,
doesn't
right?
Feel
sexy
right.
Vampires.
Popularizing.
Yes, it would not be the same without this film.
Yeah.
And so, as such, I'm still going to give it 4 out of 5 backseat Lestats.
Oh, I love that. I love the scene at the very end.
Yeah.
The last 30 seconds of the movie where...
Because she knew she had captured lightning in the bottle with him, so she's like, I got to have him be pretty again.
Basically.
And Christian Slater is just dumb enough to fall for it.
Now, do you think Christian Slater is going to become another Louis, and he's like, I have a problem. I keep making all these sad sacks. My power is making sad sacks.
Louis was the depressed vampire. Christian Slater is going to be
the
always
edgy,
out,
cool.
Always out for a news beat
right.
Vampire.
The end.
I just got to get the next
mean.
Top vampire story.
I think that at the end of it, in my head, Lestat just ate him. Like he said, like, I'm going to give you the choice because he knew what Louis had said.
Yeah.
And just to fuck with the guy, he said, I'll give you that choice, and then just ate him.
I was going to say, does he not come up in the
I have no idea if he does.
The book? He wasn't at the end of the book?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I thought you read the book.
No, I mean, the book ends basically in a similar way of like Louis.
Okay, so
like,
we don't
leaving.
Know if he.
Yeah, I think
okay.
The stinger of him coming back in them is just a movie thing, if I remember correctly. I don't remember it being in the book.
So you don't know if he gets eaten?
I don't, but in my head, he gets eaten.
If you want to hear more of our headcanons,
yeah.
You can listen through our catalog at our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and OpinionatedPodcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.